too good of a mood, so are you.
Oh, shake. Hey, guys. Welcome to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research. Hope you guys are having a terrific day today. Hope you guys are staying strong and healthy. And you guys are enjoying all the different specials and sales we've been putting out there for y'all. And make sure you guys are staying updated on thebrowershow.com. You can get the updates right here. First name, last name, email. Sign up for the Brower Show or the Health Masters Report or both. I'd recommend both. That way you get all the updated shows and specials that we're running. And you guys asked me, when we talked about it, just giving everybody a heads up, the news stories right at the top feeder head. Pretty much everything related to the show is on this page now. You want Angel Wars, you want download MP3s, watch live, podcast, news stories, links every single day updated right here.
Where are the supplements?
Supplements are right here.
Ah, shop supplements.
Shop supplements.
Well, I couldn't. That's kind of a glare on the screen.
Yeah. It's so big. It's so bright. But so be sure to check this out. And also, too, the GHI cleanse. That'll be on sale for probably the next couple hours. And it'll be changing over. That was on sale for product of the week. And it changed over Wednesday afternoon. And you guys voted. It looks like the Fit Food and the cinnamon extracts were going back and forth. But the Fit Food won finally. I pretty much ran that one over because that's where it was at. Yeah, so the Fit Food will be going on. That's our whey protein, New Zealand whey. Great supplement product to add in to increase your protein intake.
I had it this morning. I ran out of GHI cleanse.
I got some right here.
GHI.
Yeah, I know. Everybody's running out of GHI cleanse. We're almost out at the office.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I had to order a whole new shipment in. So I had it on sale, and I underestimated how much people wanted the product.
Well, the product is so good. Now, if you're trying to do a full detox, the vanilla is better.
It is.
Now, the chocolate tastes better.
Chocolate tastes better.
But if you're going to be doing it every day, you can use a chocolate. But if the vanilla gets that chocolate back out.
Well, that's just, I had a, you know, Dex called me up last night. He's like, dude, I'm out. I've been out of GHI for like 3 days. I'm like, well,
he's always out of GHI.
I was like, you better come and get some because I'm almost out of GHI. Everybody's almost out of GHI.
You know what I do is I put a tablespoon of the organic beet powder in the vanilla. Yep. And it makes the prettiest color shake you've ever had.
It does. It almost looks like it has like Red 40 in it. But it
oh my gosh,
it's beet powder.
Yes, yeah,
and remember, beets are a massive natural detoxificant
and a natural increase of nitric oxide.
Yes.
So a lot of athletes use it.
Increase vasodilation, increase blood flow, and they help detoxify the kidneys and the liver. So that's a really good product to put together.
And they will increase libido somewhat.
Yeah.
Just to say, because of the nitric oxide.
Now
they're not like the HGH stimulator.
No.
That product's crazy with that.
Now, you guys, we brought this up the other day, and I honestly wrote it down. This is why I write stuff down. And I forgot about it.
Because
I didn't finalize it.
Oh.
I got so wrapped up with those website transitions.
I thought you wrote it down.
I did write it down.
You forgot where you wrote it down?
I got it again, yeah. And so I went ahead and put up the skin repair kit. This is the one we talked about that is the collagen and vitamin C powder stack. On sale for over 11% off. I give you guys this. We talked about it. The reason why is because the vitamin C and the collagen have an enormously synergistic complex to them when you take them both together. High dose of vitamin C with high dose collagen. I talked about in a research study that came out last year and covered it more in detail a few weeks back on the show. And so I put that kit together and it's both in the powder form. So you can mix the collagen with the vitamin C and or anything else, even if you want to run purple stick with it. But those two work really, really good at maintaining healthy skin, elasticity, reducing wrinkles. Also too, helping out with hydration. Hydration is one of the key factors of also skin health. Obviously, different supplements are really important with the collagen. But if you're dehydrated, your body's going to start getting very dry. And when your body gets dry, the skin basically starts wearing down and aging much, much faster. And so, this is one of the things that I talk about all the time on the show. And there's another article that I want to tie in. We make a purple stick?
Well, give me the center camera, Rich.
You know, usually you do it before the show. I'm not going to lie, though. I was doing it in the middle of it.
Well, I kind of got distracted. Okay, here's...
I got distracted.
Yeah. Here's my Aikai, our purple sticks. Here's my magnesium, or our brain food. Well, this is actually powder multiple.
That's multiple powder.
Love this stuff, man.
That's a staple.
Oh, my gosh. And I need to put also in here, I'm going to throw some magnesium in here.
Oh, man, dude. You got a cocktail going over there.
Yeah, I already have my protein shake though, so I don't want to do any more of that. So I don't have a scooper in here.
Good.
Someone has taken the scooper away.
What'd you put in, like 4 scoops of that?
Hey, I love that stuff, man.
I know. Well, it works good.
You know, you put it on a glass of water, put some ice to it. It's a.
I've mixed it in jugs before. Yeah,
I have not had anybody tell me they don't like that stuff when they drink it like that.
Oh, no.
Great.
Oh man,
no, I'm just really
it's
happy about that.
Live show.
Oh, that's great. Perfect.
Oh, you didn't seal the lid up on
no,
it.
No, obviously the lid doesn't match.
Oh,
the
it's
shaker.
The wrong lid. See, guys, this is why I recommend when you get our shakers, you get our standard Close Quick top that goes with the bottom. He picked some random one out of a drawer.
No, I didn't. It was in the sink.
When you buy them together, you get the correct top with the correct
bottom.
Excuse
me for a second. It doesn't do that.
Anyway, all right. So another study that came out and going into detail about water is it goes into the daily intake could be fueling your stress levels. A new study showed that people who drank less water experienced a spike in the stress hormone cortisol when faced with daily pressures. This is very, very common and very true. It says adults who drank less than 6 cups of water or any beverage daily had 50% higher surge in stress hormone cortisol when under pressure, according to a new study in the Journal of Applied Physiology. Dehydration doesn't just affect your physical health, it affects your stress response, making it stronger. Over time, high cortisol levels have linked to problems like heart disease, kidney issues, and diabetes. Among people who drank less fluid each day, cortisol, the hormone that fuels the body's flight or flight, spiked more than 50% higher. The research team screened 64 healthy adults, divided them into 2 groups based on daily water intake. Low drinkers averaged 5.5 cups a day, which that's probably a 12-ounce, I'm assuming. That's probably like 60 ounces a day. That's way, way below anybody's amount of water they should be drinking. It says, while the other group drank closer to 8 to 10 cups a day, which that's about right. You need about half your daily weight in fluids. So basically, if you're running a, if you're 200 pounds, you can be drinking about 100 ounces of water a day. That's where you need to be at with it. And so, and that is your minimum, by the way. That's not the just basic. That's the bare minimum to make sure everything's functioning properly. It says all types of beverages counted towards these totals. That's the funny part. They weren't even just talking about water. It was fluid in general. And it says why dehydration amplifies stress. Cortisol is center to how the body handles stress. It helps you stay alert, stay focused, and ready to act. However, cortisol levels stay too high too often, they wreak havoc on your health, raising risk for high blood pressure, weight gain, and heart disease. When the body starts to lose fluid, whether a long workout, hot day, simply not drinking enough, it releases water-saving hormone that flips on the stress syndrome. It's vasopressin. The water-saving hormone helps the kidneys hold on to water, but also signals the brain to release cortisol. The system that triggers cortisol releases stress, released during stress. So what happens, they're saying, even if you're living a fairly active lifestyle and you're staying healthy, once you get dehydrated, your stress levels and your hormone levels in your body start to go up because your body thinks it's in a flight or flight mode and you don't have adequate water access. So it starts trying to retain water and producing hormones to hold onto that water, which causes a whole lot of other long-term side effects if your body stays in that area or stays in that phase for too long. So another important reason why you need to be drinking a lot of water. I've said this for years. One of the biggest things I always do is I always have a big old tumbler beside my bed. Pretty much when I wake up in the morning, I will chug a whole tumbler. I just hold 20 ounces of water first thing in the morning, right out the gate. And what it does is it'll really help your energy. It'll help your morning start off, and it'll help clarity and mental health, in my opinion, because your body just it gets dehydrated.
Well, what I do now, I used to chug the big glass of water every day, but I don't do that for fit. First thing I do, I run about 5 to 6 ounces with 2 Purple Sticks.
Gosh.
Well, don't judge me for this.
I didn't judge you. I didn't know we were going there.
And what I do is I go ahead and put the Purple Sticks in there, then I put a full scoop of vitamin C in it.
Now, vitamin C is crucial.
Then I take some supplements with it, including turmeric, okay, and I drink it. Now, the reason I only use a small amount of water is processing time. You dump a gallon of water, and you got to take a minute to get it through.
No, it does.
Yeah, you do 4 ounces. It doesn't take much time at all. No. If you get a kick from the Purple Sticks. And so that's what I do because I get ready for the show. Now, then I will then, after that, after about 30 minutes, when I get a good kick in the Purple Sticks, then I will have, another Purple Stick. This is like true confession for me this morning. And then I don't like dropping that much caffeine on my heart that fast. I really don't. It gets me too hyper too quick.
It gets you going. But then I
go work out. After the show or before the show, I worked out early this morning, and then what it does, it gets it. And then I'll do within that second for that third Purple Stick, I use about a quart of water with it.
Yeah,
I guzzle it.
Well, you got to drink a lot of water, especially if you're exercising.
You got to stay hydrated. And the other thing too, and I'm going to say this is really important because I know you've been under the weather yesterday, is why we missed the show. You've got to keep your vitamin C intake high. A lot of you guys are laughing at me because I take about 7-8 grams a day. And I take that full scoop of vitamin C, and I put it in my Purple Stick first thing in the morning, and I guzzle it. That means my vitamin C levels go through the roof first thing. This right here, the powdered
vitamin C plasma levels. Because here's the issue, and this is me last week. So over the weekend, I was gone with the kids a bunch. Everybody's running around. We didn't get enough sleep, and I didn't have any vitamin C powder with me the whole weekend.
Can't do that.
And what happened was the kids started getting a cough. then this sudden, you know, Stetson jumps on me. He's on the couch and he's laughing. He goes, just coughs right in my face. I'm like, all right, that's fun.
But here, so I take, then I take another scoop of vitamin C at night when I go to bed. So like 12, 14 hours apart, I hit the C.
Yeah.
Now, what's interesting about that is if you get used to having that much vitamin C in your system, your body gets used to it.
It does.
It starts from needing it. Because remember last January, I got sick. I had a friend of mine, Melina, came down, and she was unbelievably ill. Actually, it was in February, and I talked to her for a little while, and whatever she had, I caught. Because, you know, I took her to Valentine's Day lunch. And what ended up happening is she ended up basically giving me this stuff. She's a friend, so I wasn't doing anything besides just talking to her. Just thought I'd mention that. But it was even being in proximity to that and having them breathe on you, it ended up getting me unbelievably sick. And that's when I had that cough. But what had happened is I had stopped taking vitamin C twice a day.
Well, me and the kids have been taking a copious amount of vitamin C for the last 2 days.
Now,
back at it again.
And it can cause diarrhea if you get too much of it. But then you just pull it down a little bit until the diarrhea stops. But other mammals produce vitamin C.
Right.
Like dogs. They don't need vitamin C supplement. They produce vitamin C. Human beings don't. If we don't get enough vitamin C from fresh fruits and vegetables and our diet on a regular basis, our body starts to degenerate and age super fast. Because this stops this telomere shortening. Remember, that helps slow it down. It also helps vitamin C. Is basically the glue with collagen that holds your cells and your body together. So if you want to get really, really wrinkly, don't take C. If you want to get really, really wrinkly, don't take C and don't mix it with collagen. And then you get wrinkled real fast. Or you can just take the vitamin C and say, well, why doesn't Ted have any wrinkles? Well, I do have wrinkles, by the way. But the reason I don't have that many wrinkles is because I use the vitamin C every single day. And I've been doing so for decades.
One tip that I found out, too, if you take it, especially if you're a little bit more sensitive to it, and you take it with meals, it doesn't cause...
It buffers it.
It can buffer it as far as if you're having issues with diarrhea from high doses. You take a dose with a meal two or three times a day, and what it does, it slows down the process of it a little bit more.
It does.
Now, you're used to it, so you run it all the time, but this is a very strong product. I mean, one scoop is 2,500 milligrams of vitamin C. One scoop. One dose.
I thought it was a bit more than that, but I usually put a heaping...
2,569, exactly.
I usually put a heaping scoop in there, so it's probably around 6,000 or 3,000 or 4,000.
Now, this has also got quercetin in it, too.
That's good.
Really, really... That's one of the reasons why this formula is so strong and it works so good. So be sure to check it out.
Oh, by the way, it's interesting. We're finally starting to realize why the Democrats, should have said something a little different, are seeing dead people. You think, wait a minute. Well, Elon Musk came out and did a big expose. And so the real reason why Democrats never clean out the Social Security system of dead people is they were using those names to send fraudulent payments to illegals.
Whoa.
That's interesting, isn't it?
Well, he was in that whole system with Doge for a month.
He said, if you remove those names, it will shut off benefits forms for multiple programs paying benefits for illegals all over the country. He says, that's the nature of the scam. It's a bank shot. Yes. So then the rebuttal from the Democrats is like, oh, well, the vast majority of the people who are marked as live in Social Security Administration weren't receiving Social Security payments. Wait a minute.
That makes sense.
What they forgot to mention is they're getting fraudulent payments from every other government program, and that's why the Democrats were so opposed to turning off to declaring someone dead who was dead, because it would stop all other forms of fraud from happening, widespread frauds, hundreds of billions of dollars, Musk said.
Well, you know,
yearly.
Yes.
Yearly.
Well, no, it's funny you said that, because I remember talking. That makes so much sense now, the way they've been doing that. I talked to one of my buddies that works construction, a big construction company, and he says when these guys come over here that are illegal, there's a whole underground program where they apply and they get a Social Security card and all this other stuff. But it's all fraudulent. But I couldn't figure out where they were getting so they're using dead people's numbers.
And he said if you remove the dead people's names, it has shut off the benefits from multiple other forms of payments. So they're not just getting Social Security. They're getting Medicaid. They're getting Medicare. They're getting all this other stuff. They're getting all. You know, they're getting food stamps. They're getting all of it because they're using a dead person.
And so the system's automatically generating checks out.
And he was trying to get – that's probably one of the reasons they got rid of him. So you remember Elon Musk came in there with Doge and was really cleaning house.
Oh, he came in with a chainsaw as the joke went.
Yeah, and he was getting rid of a bunch of stuff. And then all of a sudden they stopped him.
No, he started talking
about Fort Knox. And because there's not a large amount of gold at Fort Knox.
He did say he wanted to audit Fort Knox. And then Trump – remember, then Trump followed with him. Yeah, we need to audit Fort Knox. All of a sudden it was Fort Knox, gold. What are you guys talking about?
Well, you know, but what it shows for Donald Trump, and I know you guys like Trump. I got that, okay? What it shows is his naivety for him to go ahead, because he doesn't understand the system. He does what he's told. Remember, Trump was he was on The Apprentice or whatever for 15 years. He's an actor. You know, and when he gets on TV and he's doing his acting thing, you know, as a business guy, he's filed bankruptcy multiple times. Okay. And now he's coming under unbelievable consternation from people all over the country because he's building this almost billion-dollar ballroom. Why people don't get paid by their government benefits anymore.
Well, that was kind of the factor, and I saw that, and I couldn't really rebuttal it. You know, his article came out, and it was talking about this gigantic Halloween party he had down in Mar-a-Lago, and everybody's posting selfies of it all weekend, while everybody else in the country basically is no longer getting checks. Well, you know, I'm not talking about Snap EBT. I'm talking about flight controllers.
And the people that are giving the money to build the ballroom are also on the dole for hundreds of billions of government contracts. Just thought I'd mention that.
By the way, asterisk in there. Yeah.
So, I mean, and don't get me wrong, it'll be a nice ballroom. And we really needed one, honestly. You can't be having, you know, formal functions outside in a tent in the wintertime in D.C.
No.
Okay. But it's going to be beautiful. But the problem is that, you know, just be honest about it. Say, okay, if you give us we'll give you a $100 billion contract if you give us another billion, you know. Okay, well, that reminds me of the Sackler family with Purdue Pharma.
Oh gosh!
Oh, we're gonna tell you that OxyContin, sustained release opiate, is not addictive,
bro. They fabricated research studies that they paid people, they paid scientists to come in and say OxyContin is not addictive. They said it had less than a 1% addiction rate. That's what they formally
did. $100 billion in it, more actually.
In aggregate,
and then turned around and had to pay like an $8 or $9 billion fine.
It's zero jail time
for
zero
anybody.
Felony convictions.
And the people they went after are the ones who were running the pill mills.
Yeah.
I told you, I knew that one lady. She got divorced from her husband because of this, because he was running a pill mill, and they ended up fleeing to Russia.
Yeah.
And he ended up getting like 6 months in jail.
Well,
she got
probation. The crazy part about it was the whole Purdue Pharma was actually incentivizing physicians to write more scripts, and then they were giving them discounts and kickbacks and bonuses and all types of stuff, the more scripts they wrote of OxyContin. They were giving them financial incentives to write more opiate.
She told me that they had people lined up around the block.
Yeah.
Around the block. And then they started realizing they were being investigated.
Oh, yeah.
So then they moved their facility. And then they moved their facility again. Because remember, the government moves real slow. They moved the facility. Now they've got to go through their checks and balances again. So it may take another month
start
to find
a whole other investigation with a whole other address.
And all of a sudden they found out they were about to get arrested. So she took a whole pile of cash. This is her words, not mine. Almost, she wouldn't tell me, but it was well over $1 million. And man, she had a Russian passport back to Russia. They were over there for years, and they had another baby while they were over there. And finally, the government said, look, if you come over here, you know, because we went off our books, we'll plea bargain this down. You won't get any jail time, but you will be a convicted felon to the woman, and your husband's going to go to jail for like 6 months.
While millions and millions of Americans got addicted on prescription drugs.
And why Purdue Pharma and the Sackler family got no jail time.
Zero.
Think about that for a second.
They fabricated studies, bro. They fabricated studies and sent them to physicians, complete fraudulent studies that didn't even exist. They weren't even real as far as the research that they came out with them on them.
And then they came after her because she had penalty and fine she had to pay. And then they forced her to basically refinance the house that they had paid off to give them a big check, a chunk of cash to the government as penalties. See, when these bureaucrats, I almost said something crude, and I'm not going to say it. When they decide they're going to have their way with you, okay, and they come chasing you, it's on their desk, and they want to make sure they at least get something from you.
Yeah.
Whether it's 6 months in jail or probation or convicted felony
or
$1 million in penalties, they want to make sure because that way they clear it off their desk. They need to be able to check off the boxes because what happens is they have people standing over their shoulder saying, why is this still on your desk?
Yeah.
Why isn't this taken care of? Why haven't you collected any money? And so they have to prove that they're worth their salary, so they got to find some way to extract cash. Unless you're the Sackler family, then you get to walk away.
Well, they paid, you know, what was their 5% fine, 8% fine, whatever it was.
Yeah. I think it was $8
billion. Yeah, but in aggregate, that was like 8% tax.
Yeah.
We think about that. $100 billion, you pay $8
billion. So basically, you make $100 billion, and we just say, well, you have to pay us back $8 billion. And remember, the response for most people would be okay. If it was legal, we're good. That's ridiculous.
8% slightly higher than the Florida state sales tax we pay on every purchase.
Yeah, and, you know, it was so funny. What I would always do, and I've tried to do this, you know, over the years with podcasts and stuff that I go on who try to basically help us, and we kind of go cross-collateralization as far as what we do with marketing. I always try to support them financially because it's the right thing to do. So if somebody's going to help you to build a business, you need to help them back. You really do. And the biggest problem we had with the radio stations, you couldn't do that because there wasn't one single individual that was doing that when I used to do secular radio. And then what happened is they started getting all these advertisers coming in who were pushing drugs.
Oh, yeah.
And they started saying, well, you can't bring Ted Brewer back on because Ted Brewer is telling us natural ways to basically not have to use drugs. And it's affecting our sales. And we're spending all of this money buying ad time with you. That's something that happens with podcasting now.
Yeah.
Because what happens is you get click counts, you know, and but the problem is that you get, but you make the ad revenue based upon how many ads you run. And the biggest problem is you start running the ads, people stop watching the show. Because all of a sudden now you've got 45 minutes worth of ads in a 15-minute podcast, which just happens all the time.
Yeah.
Well, now all of a sudden you have to run more ads, is why that happens, to cover the costs. That's why we made the commitment to you guys 10 years ago. We started this show. We said, if you'll support Health Masters, you'll get your supplements from us, we won't run ads. And now, by the way, when you see an ad on Rumble or whatever, that ain't us. We don't get paid anything on that. They do that for some weird compensation.
Well, some of the ones, you have different levels of accounts is what it is. And certain ones, if you want to try to have a premium account, it basically is actually, it's not just stuck at the bottom of the algorithm in a hole somewhere. You can't find it. They want to put like these short little ads on it. But as far as on our show, I've told everybody this. If you want to watch our show, you watch our show for free at thebrewershow.com, and every single show has our video on it. You could watch for free with zero ads. This is what I pay this every month to host an entire website just so you guys can watch the show with no ads. Now, of course, we put them on Rumble and Spotify and Gab and iHeartRadio, so there's more of a footprint, and I can get the platform more.
But all these different platforms have to pay their bills,
too. Yeah, they got to pay their bills, too. And see, the way we're able to do it is because you support Health Masters when you buy a can of Purple Sticks from us once a month or even a tube of toothpaste. I don't have to run any ads. I don't have – you know, I'll just say this. This is one of the biggest pet peeves I will never do to you. I hate when you click a website and you get 50,000 ad pop-ups. And you got to, you're exiting out of them, and then you go to the next page, more of a pop-up. You can't even read anything. And they go, oh, by the way, you got to sign up. If you want to read this article, you got to pay us $10 a month to read the premium article.
That's true. All the time.
Yeah. And then do that. And I understand why they do that as far as trying to generate revenue. And that's the thing, that we will always keep the content bringing you guys every single day. Now, we may do a platform where we have a second option of basically a VIP account. This is probably what I'm going to bring on the Brewer Show next. Essentially, it's going to have more behind the scenes info, more content that we basically add on there, and it's going to get you different types of specials and stuff on the site if you want to support us. And it'll be more subscription based, like a lot of companies have. But that's going to have a whole lot of perks with it, on top of being able to get a hold of us and send us stuff, because we have to be able to make sure we can manage everything with our time. That's the biggest thing we've both run into with this, is how much time you spend with the podcast, with customers, with show prep, with everything. You've got to be able to manage it, and you got to be able to have people that are supporting you that you're spending your time with. Because, you know, 20% of your customers do 80% of your sales. Learned that a long time ago.
Jim Rohn taught us that.
Jim Rohn taught us that. And that's why we got, you know, the 3%ers. I have people email me that all the time, and I love it. Because, you know, there's there's a customer base that really keeps this show going, that really keeps all this content paid for so we don't have to run ads. Because, like I said, you know, when somebody contacts me and emails me, and they say, oh, we've listened to the show for 5 years, but I need to know what your opinion is on all these Amazon vitamins that I bought again the other day for the 15th time. And I'm like, I'm sorry, but I don't have time to give you a detailed analysis of all the vitamins you keep buying from other companies, because I have no idea what's in them. I don't know the raws. I don't know the third-party assay testing. Quite frankly, I don't have time, an hour, to give you my opinion on something when you've listened to me for 5 years and you still keep supporting Amazon after you know what Amazon does. They're a global retail monopoly. I sent an email the other day with that. You know, what about Amazon? I'm like, you're really going to ask me about Amazon vitamins? Please call Amazon and ask them about their vitamins.
They can't answer the question.
They won't answer the question. They can't, because they don't know anything about it.
Remember when they called us a couple of years ago and they said, we need all of your proprietary information.
Oh, yeah.
We need to know what you put in your supplements. We need to know who your suppliers are. We want to know who your manufacturers are.
They sent me like a 28-page requirement to keep my supplements on Amazon.
Yeah, you know what we told them? No, thanks.
I said, pound salt. They want to know emails, phone numbers, contacts, third-party assayers. They want to know every single base on every source.
And so you ask yourself a question. Why do you need to know that kind of stuff unless you're planning on reproducing my supplements and selling them for less money?
Right. Well, here's the ironic part. Amazon doesn't even police fake vitamins. There's been multiple times now where companies have found that there's vitamins on their site that Amazon's selling that are completely fake from China with replica labels. They're not even the same product. They don't care. But yeah, why did they want to send me a 28-page mandate that I had to answer all these detailed questions in general, all the way down to my manufacturer's phone number?
Well, they knew, number one, we wouldn't do it. So what it does, it eliminates other competition.
Oh, yeah. And they pulled all the supplements off the site. You guys know that. They pulled down our Amazon account eventually. They months and months and months, they warned me, oh, we're going to take your account down. I said, okay. I am not submitting to this. You will not force me to give you this information. I don't have to, period. And it makes me wonder how many other people have to.
And they charge 15%
oh, yeah,
of the total gross sale.
On top of it, yeah,
so
right off the gate.
We operate on about a 20 to 30% margin. That's what we operate on, depending on the product. And you think, well, that's not very much. No, but you take 15% off the top, then you're operating on like a
5%
margin.
It is right off the top. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So there's a $100 order. After we pay for the product, maybe there's $30 in it. They took 15 right off the top. And we still got to pay salary. We still got to pay insurance.
Well,
we pay
more than that. There are, we keystone our products, most of them. In fact, so we pay $50 for a $100 bottle of vitamins. And we'll just give you the numbers, be honest with you. And then we've got to pay salaries and utilities and insurance and all the rest out of the rest of it and income tax. So there's not much left. So when they pull 15% off the top, they pretty much take about 70% of the profit.
Yeah. So just a tidbit on Amazon for the people that still want to support that global retail monopoly. That's why I'm not really a big fan of it. I did put the purple sticks on there. I got away with putting the purple sticks on there recently, and then apparently they flagged us again, Ruben said. So now we're trying to put them back on there. I did it just for advertisement. I that's the biggest thing with me. I told everybody, I said, please don't buy the products of Amazon. Buy them directly from me. I was using this free advertisement, but apparently they're catching on to all that now. They're trying to Amazon's a nightmare. Complete. Oh, and by the way, if you guys saw, they just laid off another 100 people at Amazon now in their main top management, not in their business. Another 100 top management there now. Amazon is hemorrhaging as far as employees. They're cutting them out all over the place. And the reason why, as I told you guys, is Amazon is trying to cut down their overall all costs. They're trying to make sure they have the ability to come in here and run AI, run robots. Remember, Amazon doesn't care about their customers, and they don't care about their employees. They care about their profits 100%. That is their only mandate, as far as their only focus, are profits. So it doesn't matter if people get basically unemployed. It doesn't matter if people can't feed their families anymore because they got terminated for without cause. They don't care. It's all about their numbers with them, and it continues to grow because, remember, vast majority of Amazon's main base of income came from government contracts and CIA housing servers 20 years ago. Amazon was just an online bookstore, and suddenly it blew up, and it became this global retail monopoly overnight for no reason. The vast majority of their money was coming from government contracts. That's why I tell everybody so many times, support local businesses. Even if you find a product on Amazon you like, I'm just telling you this. Look at the company who's selling it. Look at the manufacturer. Contact them direct. And I guarantee you, in most cases, you'll be able to get a better deal from them. And I always tell people that. Come to us direct. We'll take care of you the best we possibly can. Another story that came up with layoffs. For Disney, hit by massive layoffs despite charging record prices for entry. Apparently, Disney's laying off another like 500 individuals. They said, our business in a period of steady, sustained operation, we're recalibrating our organization. I'm sorry for the people basically that are unemployed now with Disney. I'm sure there's some good people that work there. But this is what happens when you start paying, charging, $1,600 for an annual pass for Floridian. Say like for the platinum annual pass, I think it's $1,500 or $1,600 annual pass. There are so many other cool things you can come do down here in Florida, like go to the springs up in basically, in Ocala. Go to some of the other areas that we have in Apopka. There's so many fun things you do. Go down the Everglades and go python hunting. Go look at some of the forts up in St. Augustine. So much cool stuff in Florida history. You don't have to go run to Disney and go blow $15,000-$20,000 for a week. Quite frankly, if you're going to go to one of the theme parks, go to Universal, go to Islands of Adventure. They're better than Disney as far as pedophilia grooming, in my opinion. I mean, I think an annual pass for Islands of Adventure and Universal is like $300, $400 max. I mean, unless you get like some crazy pass on it. And quite frankly, they got way better roller coasters. So does SeaWorld and Busch Gardens. If you like roller coasters, I'd love them. But so again, I digress. Let me get on another topic here. Went sideways on that. So another article that came up here that I want to cover, and this was going off of, let me pull it up here. Let me see. Where was it at? This was a crazy story that just came out. And I don't know why and what's going on with it. It's basically seven people were killed when UPS cargo plane exploded upon takeoff in Louisville Airport. This is one of those interesting things that I'll be on the – I think it was – I don't know if it was the plane. I don't know what it was. But it was definitely a problem that was occurring. And then on top of that now, we're having massive Texas airport hit by standard three-hour TSA lines. This whole thing that's going on with the TSA is getting much, much worse. I've seen this now repeatedly. There's so much going on now with these TSA layoffs and the TSA furloughs and what's going on with the FAA and all these guys that are running the operations as far as with, airline traffic control. This is a serious issue, and it's getting worse. And that's why I said the other day, this whole shutdown, this government shutdown, This is a lot of stuff going on behind the scenes right now with the markets, with the interest rates, with the cash, with the essentially the bailouts or the quantitative, you know, the derivatives. And the thing about this is there's really some strange things. And that's why I told everybody to be very, very cautious of what's going on right now and monitor as far as business, because everything's kind of – everybody's in business right now. So everything's kind of stagnant. Like nothing's really moving. Everything – a lot of sales are going down. Most companies are down right now. Everybody's down. But then on the other hand too, it's like, well, why? You know, if you got to make sure you're handling these certain things, make sure you're handling them. So be sure to stay on top of that. And also too, another article that came out here that went up, and I don't know much about this guy, but they said that on there, this Zohran Mahdini, basically hardcore Muslim – is now he won in New York as far as New York mayor now over there. So we're going to see, as because he was going against Andrew Cuomo, which I don't know why in the world they thought that he was going to get as far as voted in. Andrew Cuomo was the one who was instrumental in that fiasco in New York as far as during COVID-19. I mean, it was absolutely ludicrous. And so, again, another reason why it's like, you know, that whole city – there's a lot of stuff that's moving out of New York now. The problem is a lot of people are moving to Florida from New York, and it's pretty annoying because it's just they don't nobody, and I'm not picking on New Yorkers, but the vast majority of people that move down here from New York that I've come in contact with, for some odd reason, they want to come to Florida and then try to make Florida like New York is, where it's complete pisshole now, excuse my language, where, I mean, the crime is rampant, the immigration's rampant, the Democrats are unbelievably insane, and they come down here, it's like, we need to change this in Florida. We need to get rid of your governor. We need to change these laws down here. We have more gun restrictions. And I'm like, go back home, please. Like, no, nobody wants your opinion down here. Nobody asked you to come here. Nobody invited you to come here. And we sure as heck don't want to know anything of your thoughts. If you have a city that's gone to crap and now you move out of that city and come to another city, maybe you want to start going a different direction with certain ideologies. Just an idea. If it's not gone the way you wanted it to, why are you going to do the same thing? Isn't that the definition of insanity? Doing the same thing over and over and over and over again and expecting a different result? Pretty much, yeah. It's exactly what it is. So be sure to stay on top of this stuff, guys, and be vocal about what lots going on right now, because there's definitely some things that are happening, especially in the AI world. I saw it earlier on King's World, and like I was talking about Amazon. It says the coming stock market crash, the tech industry is flying high on artificial intelligence. New technology accounted for 1.1 percent points of U.S. economic growth in third quarter. It drives stock prices to new highs almost weekly. It's created trillions of dollars of paper wealth, except it's not real. The only reason why the S&P 500 has continued to grow is all on the backs of AI platforms.
That's right.
There is no growth in the S&P 500 right now in the normal stocks. If you look at them, everything's flat or going down. But yet the AI market is getting massively unloaded with different types of cash. I mean, remember, the number one share that basically that is BlackRock, State Street, and Vanguard, the number one carrying on their balance sheet right now is all AI. That's like their number one, the top they're putting the most amount of money in. You got to ask the question, if AI is just to help everybody out, write papers faster, or help out, you know, a little bit more efficiently with algorithms or businesses, is it really a multi-trillion dollar market? Or are they putting this together to try to add more surveillance in and then coming in and trying to use it as a way to basically prop certain things up? I don't know completely, but I do know one thing. It's definitely not what they said it is. In these over 500 different AI data centers that are being put in place across the country, people completely...
500. Think about that.
Yeah. And people do not understand, because I've actually talked to some tech guys, the level of electrical juice that these centers are pulling. All the electrical grids, all the major power companies are now saying, we've got to have a price increase now. We've got to expand our infrastructure to carry these places. Whoa, 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 whoa. That's not a me problem. That's a you problem. No. That needs to be the responsibility of these tech centers, these AI centers that are coming in.
And remember, suddenly the whole government went cold on electric vehicles.
Yeah. You notice that too?
I mean, you think about it. They start building AI.
Flat.
Well, they can't do it all. They can't charge the cars and charge the AI systems.
No.
And so all of a sudden it's like, well, we're not interested in electric vehicles anymore. We don't have the charging stations. Well, because the charging stations were pulling way too much current off the grid.
Well, and what happened was, too, this was one of the first times we really watched where the government and the Jew bankers that constantly try to push their narratives, this is what they do. They wanted to make all this money off the electrical as far as the vehicle system. That's why they were pushing it so hard. And then what happened was the American population and a lot of the world population said, we're going to vote with our dollars. How about we just stop buying your giant electric pieces of crap?
And that's why they had run giant subsidies. Remember, all these subsidies were borrowed money.
Oh, yeah, we paid for tax dollars.
Well, no, we didn't pay for it. The government borrowed
that's
the
right.
money.
Still on debt. Still on the sheet. Yeah.
Yeah, still on the
that's
sheet.
That's $7,500 rebate that everybody got to buy the EV vehicle so you could lose $50,000 the next year on the car.
Oh, yeah. Those, unless you bought the Porsche.
Oh, yeah, that was about $100,000 a
year. More than that. $150,000.
Take on, I think it was.
Yeah.
That literally single handedly has almost put Porsche in a hole.
Well, no, it's almost
bankrupted them. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Now they're backtracking out of everything. We're not going EV now. We're going to be some simple hybrid stuff. I've told you guys for years, hybrid technology has been around for decades and it's pretty doggone cool. A lot of systems can do.
Yep, start with the Prius.
Self-sufficient. Start with the Prius. It really does. As gay as those cars are, they're actually really efficient. They are. They're really.
This show is so political.
Well, correct. If you drive a Prius. I'm not apologizing because the car's really gay, but it is efficient. The technology is really cool.
And the person driving it may not be gay.
The car itself appears to be a homosexual vehicle. I don't know the sexual nature of the car, but it appears to be gay. I'm joking, obviously. But the car.
No, he's not, but I don't agree with it.
But the car, I got to give the tech because I remember they were way ahead of their time when they came out with it 15, 20 years ago.
Toyota came out with a good car.
The thing was getting doggone 50, 55 miles a gallon.
On the average.
On the average. It was pretty cool. It's just they need to revamp the look of it. And now what's happened is a lot of these companies have realized that's actually a pretty cool tech that you can do to make cars get really great fuel mileage and still actually have more power. The exotic industry is now pushing it where they're getting an extra 100, 200. That is the ZR1X, ZR1E. Mm-hmm. They're coming out with that. They're having the battery system an extra like 200 horsepower. Car's already got 1,064 horsepower.
It needed more.
But it needed more. It needed more. Now it's like going to be 1,280 or whatever it is, the ZR1X. But it's pretty cool to see that inserted in the system. But full EV, I got to plug my car in.
I got to say something. This is funny. Okay. GT, what is it? The Porsche GT3 RS?
GT3 RS, yeah.
All right.
520 horsepower.
It barely beat that car on the on the Nürburgring.
Tenth of a second.
Yeah.
Twice, almost three times the horsepower.
I mean, that if you ever get a chance to drive one of those cars, that's a driving machine.
They have a track if you're ever out there. I don't recommend going out there when it's too expensive, but Las Vegas for the SEMA Auto Show. If you're a motorhead, you've got to go to the SEMA Auto Show.
Oh, tell me what you told me about BlackRock and the boys.
Oh, yeah. I found this out. I was talking to a buddy of mine who does a lot of stuff out there, a lot of business out there. And remember I told you guys the other day, Bellagio, Cosmo, all these hotels are so exorbitantly, insanely priced. Vegas was never cheap. It was always a ripoff. It's always a ripoff. It's kind of a dump of a city. But it was always a ripoff. Now it's like an obscene ripoff. Like you order a bottle of water, you need another bottle of water in your room, like, oh, it's $12. Or we're going to just dehydrate you. And you're like, oh, God, go downstairs, bottle of water is $15 at the store. Obscene. What's happened is now all those hotels.
Not all of them, but a bunch of them.
A vast majority of the hotels on the main strip, the new strip, like Bellagio, Cosmo, Ariat, all those. They had essentially land leases when the hotels were built on them through Vegas, so Vegas could generate some revenue. So they had to basically pay money to the land.
100-year land lease.
100-year land lease. But it was a small amount of money compared to what they were making, but it was a way for Las Vegas to generate more money and bring in revenue. Well, what happened is now, you give it 100 years, the boys that love free air at BlackRock, State Street, and Vanguard now, those private equity firms have all acquired the land leases. Somehow, I don't know how the internals of this have worked, but they're saying now with the increased rates that BlackRock is making off of, because remember, BlackRock doesn't like to actually do anything. Nobody's figured that out yet. They don't produce anything. They don't make anything.
Smedley Butler talked about this, the war's a racket.
They don't make anything. They don't manufacture anything. They don't do anything. They take money. They leverage it. They make more money off the interest off the money. They leverage that money, and they continue then to buy up real assets like actual property with the money that they leveraged off it through interest. It's called usury or money magic. The bankers are known for doing this. There's a reason why Jesus braided a whip and threw them out of the temple and whipped all of them.
These bankers have been thrown out over 100 countries.
They didn't have the digital currency back in the day, so what they did was they had unjust weights and scales. Somebody would come in with an ounce of silver in the temple and say, hey, I'm trading this ounce of silver for X amount. They'd come in and say, it's not an ounce of silver. It's 0.9 ounces. This is definitely an ounce of silver. I bought it. I've traded it. It's an ounce every time. No, it's not. There were unjust weights and scales. They were manipulating and ripping people off. Oh, well, by the way, we're charging you a 10% fee to change out this silver for another piece. This is what they've always done. And so what they did in Vegas now, they said that the Bellagio has $1 million a day land lease now through BlackRock. They have to come up with $365 million a year just to keep it afloat on the property. meaning they're paying BlackRock $365
million. And that doesn't include any of the other overhead.
No, this is no overhead. This is the land lease for Bellagio to sit on. This isn't staff. This isn't overhead. This isn't anything.
So I'm going to make a suggestion to everybody who's giving this camera. Rich, thanks. I'm going to make a suggestion. Here it is. Ready? Don't go to Vegas.
That's you see me. Vegas right now.
I'm not there. Don't go to Disney. Just don't go.
Don't support them with your dollar.
And it's so funny. This is the first time now in years where I'm driving on I-4 heading to Orlando that it's not stopped.
Yeah.
And people have stopped. They're not going to Disney.
I was in Orlando
like
all weekend. Yeah. I didn't traffic stop one time. Everything was pretty much 70 miles an hour.
That's great. And they're okay. But let's talk about this for a second. The eye of the stock market storm. And this is interesting. Mr. QTR Finance, it says, I think I've identified the four horsemen of the next stock market apocalypse, each one manageable in isolation but collectively large enough to reshape a financial system price. I'm going to slow down. I have had too many purple sticks. I got to calm myself down. I think I've identified the four horsemen of the next stock market apocalypse, each one manageable in isolation but collectively large enough to reshape the financial system priced for perfection. Subprime auto, he's right. We warned you. The Ted and Austin Brewer Show warned you 5 years ago when they were charging $20,000 and $30,000 and $40,000 addendums on new cars and used cars. Subprime auto, commercial real estate, told you. Everything's going to Amazon. Commercial real estate's going away. It won't be anywhere like it used to be. Private credit. Oh, boy, have you tried to get a credit card lately? Good luck with all that. I remember I tried to get one of my credit cards increased. In far as value, you know,
business cars.
And they wanted my last 5 years tax returns. 5 years tax returns. I asked them they called me up. They told me, I said, well, you want the blood of my firstborn too? That'd be you, by the way, Austin. And I said, you want to have, and I said, what do you mean? I said, what else do you want? I said, 5 years tax returns. And I want to have
and the credit card's been paid off on time every month.
Every month. And I said, you know, really? But they straight said no.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I'm like, this is great. This is perfect. And, you know, so the sad part about it is that's we use the credit cards for operating capital, okay, because they're easy to get. You know, it used to be easy to get. Now they're not.
Well, I'll give you guys, before he goes into this is a little bit of a hack if you're running a business, is that you have the ability a lot of times to have a 30 or 60-day float when you buy some inventory with zero interest.
Yeah.
This is how you do it. So if the credit card basically, you know, is it closes the statement out, say, on the first of the month. Well, a lot of times if you need to buy more inventory, you can time it and buy it on the second of the month, which your statement's now closed before that. So you get the statement in, your bill's not extremely high, and what you do is you float the capital, you float the product for a month, and then the next statement comes in, and then you have another 30 days to pay it. Now, you got to be very cautious how you do this because you can rack up credit cards really fast, and they still got to get paid, or else you get hit with enormous interest on it, but it allows you to have a little bit of buffer room when we buy a lot of inventory, gives you that little bit of time to try to pay it off without interest.
And then he says also you have to take a look at what's going on with the crypto market.
Oh, yeah.
And he says, none of these areas is systemically concentrated as subprime mortgages were in 2008, but there are a lot of subprime mortgages that were given to Hispanics.
Coming in, you know.
And what BlackRock and these big companies would do, and we've mentioned this before, they'd come into a subdivision, buy the entire subdivision.
Yep.
They would sell the home for $400,000. Then they would bring in buyers and give them the credit to buy the homes for $800,000, which gave them a $500,000 equity increase per house. And now they can start selling all the other homes for $800,000.
Yep.
And now all of a sudden, they give them these variable rate mortgages. So they start off real low. And all of a sudden, they get all these other subsidies that Elon Musk talked about coming in. That gives, and like you said, it's a whole underground thing they do. And they're getting $4,000, $5,000, $6,000, $8,000 a month coming in to pay all of these bills. And suddenly, Doge comes in and says, wait a minute, it's a scam.
Well, my next question is this now. What is this going to have effect on the housing market with all these individuals, like you just said, that get deported now with this massive deportation?
Well, we're not going to have a massive deportation. It's never going to be that many. No, it won't happen. We don't have the manpower to do that.
Yes, true.
None of these areas is systemically concentrated as subprime mortgages were before 2008, but each contains hidden, leveraged, murky valuations from the boys that like to breathe free air and exposures lurking in balance sheets that investors prefer not to scrutinize until they absolutely have to, sometimes done by the bankruptcy courts. This happened with subprime loans for cars.
Yep.
Okay? One of the largest ones just went bankrupt. When assets across multiple pockets of the market are simultaneously stressed and markets are trading at historic highs, even smaller shocks can cascade into a cascading event. The strain showing up today in subprime auto market feels like a replay of the early stages of the 2008 crisis. You have no idea, guys, how many people are defaulting on their cars. Millions. where deterioration was obvious in the underlying data, but somehow absent from valuations. This was a scene in The Big Short,
yep,
the movie, where the defaults were rampant, but the price of the swaps hadn't been marked appropriately. In other words, the swaps were worth much less, but they kept selling them for the same amount. But they were down 80%. Because they were trying to get more suckers to come into the market.
Yep.
It's amazing how well assets perform when you simply refuse to value them and when major banks are complicit in pumping them.
Yep.
Bloomberg recently noticed that more than 1.7 million cars were repossessed in 2004.
Ooh.
1.7 million.
That's a lot of cars.
That's a lot of cars, guys. That's the most since the post-crisis period. That's more than a 40% jump from 2022, driven by the end of the pandemic forbearance, persistent inflation, sharply higher interest rates. A typical monthly payment now sits in the mid-700s. This is almost my mortgage payment on my studio apartment in Philadelphia, this author goes on to say. And many subprime borrowers are paying rates above 10%, sometimes 30%, most of them Hispanic. What used to be a manageable necessity has become a financial wedge. And we talked about it just the other day. John sent me a really good article. We used to have cash for clunkers, Austin.
Yep.
They were great. You had one.
Yeah.
I bought him. His first car was a Mercury Crown Vic.
No. It was a Grand Marquise.
Oh.
It was nice for Grand Crown Marquise. Vic. It was an 89 Grand Marquise.
And we paid $800 for it. Nobody had to go out and borrow money.
No.
Nobody had to go out and get us the job
it
as a kid.
It ran great.
And it had ice cold air. Had an exhaust
manifold thing, put you to bed.
But we got it fixed. You had to run around with the windows open so you didn't kill yourself.
Well, once we figured out what it was.
Yeah. I was in there once. I had these velour seats. We're driving to Winter Haven. He goes, oh, this car's so comfortable. I'm sleepy. I said, Austin, it's 2 o'clock in the afternoon.
Yeah.
I can't be sleepy. We're getting carbon monoxide. And so we opened all the windows up. And we took it a shirt up. We had a little exhaust manifold leak.
We get sleepy.
And I remember we took it to Ford. And they wanted like $2,000 to fix it.
Oh, yeah. They pulled the whole motor out of it.
And so then what we did, we turned right back around. And we took it to Scotty's Muffler.
Yep.
And they broke it loose.
Tack welded it for me on there.
$20, $30, $40, $50 they fixed it.
Fixed it. It was like 50 bucks.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then it ran great.
Then we sold it for more than we paid for it. That's the way kids could do cars way back when.
They could.
But you can't do it like that anymore.
Well, no. And now what's happened is a lot of these manufacturers especially before 2008, before the government got in and bought up GM and all this stuff, manufacturers really had this pride of building. Like, we're going to build a vehicle that actually lasts. I mean, look at the 7.3 Power Stroke Ford diesel.
What a piece of equipment.
I mean, I still know guys that got 1 million miles on them, still driving the job sites every day, and they've changed, like, the clutch out. It's a 5-speed manual in 7.3, like a 99. Ford and other motor companies actually used to make vehicles that lasted. Now they're all designed to be so full of tech, they make sure that the car's pretty much trash by 5-6 years. Nothing updates. Everything's going bad electrical. The other day, I'd have a set of batteries replaced in my Duramax. The battery's dead. Truck's 2 years old. Battery's already dead. Had to replace it under warranty. So what's wrong with this? No, this happens all the time now. So batteries die after 2 years on a truck, pickup truck, dual bay of batteries? They said, yeah, those. I'm like, okay, that doesn't make any sense. I said, I remember batteries used to last like 4 or 5 years on these trucks. But again, everything's getting built cheaper and everything's going up more expensively because when you start having companies like BlackRock that buy up everything, they come in and they make sure nobody's going to have long-term ownership. This is why Klaus Schwab said, you'll own nothing and you'll like it by 2030.
You'll be happy.
They don't want people to own a home and build equity. They don't want people to have a vehicle they can drive for 5, 6, 8 years and it doesn't have any problems. The problem is now with these newer vehicles, it gets so expensive if they're out of warranty, it's not even worth keeping them. It don't even start on electrical cars. I mean, you buy these electrical cars, they're not even, they're just out of control. So again, that's another topic to be discussed. Now, what's your next story, my friend?
Well, you have to also realize too, when you have this whole thing of looking at you know, from a financial standpoint, you've got to realize that you need to prepare for financial problems before they happen.
That's true.
You can't just sit here and go, I'm going to charge my credit card. I'm going to charge my credit card. I'm going to charge my credit card and go buy things you don't need to impress people you don't know with money you don't have. It is very important that we understand that. I've seen that happen so many times, yeah. Austin. A person will have a job and they go out and buy a new car. They didn't need a new car, but now they got a new job.
Well, then the problem is, like I just talked about, though, sometimes it's an issue because a lot of old cars now, after 4 or 5 years old, out of warranty, you can't even repair them for any moderate price anymore.
No.
I mean, I had a buddy of mine. He had a vehicle. It was a BMW. It was out of warranty. They took it. It's a BMW, granted. It was like some minor things on it. It was like $8,000.
No.
He's like, dude, the car's worth $50,000. He's like, I'm now paying, you know, 10% of the car's value.
No, it happens all the time.
Just repair it?
Well, that's why Mercedes and BMW, their value as far as trade-in drops off precipitously after they're out of warranty because nobody wants them.
Because the repair cost starts becoming as much as the car's worth.
I had a window motor go out one time in a Mercedes, right? And luckily, it was under warranty. It was like $3,000 to fix the motor in the window.
Yeah.
And you're like, what the heck? And then I had a transmission go out in one. You remember that? That white one we had. And that doggone transmission ended up being $10,000 or $15,000. And they had to ship it on an airplane from Stuttgart. Remember that? And they got mad at me, the dealership, because it wouldn't shift out of first gear. And I had to drive it home.
It's not my problem. It's under warranty.
This is a you problem. This is not a me problem. Yeah. This is a warranty issue. And I told him, I said, wow, I mean, it was crazy how that car just, I mean, it didn't have 2,000 miles on it. The transmission just seized up on it.
Oh, yeah.
But, you know, that's Mercedes. Now, Mercedes is ranked as one of the worst cars for reliability on the market because of their EV market. The same thing Porsche happened with Porsche, that thing.
Yep.
They've soiled themselves with these things that they've come out with. So be really careful when you start. I have a friend of mine. She just moved from San Diego. The company moved her here. Works remote. She was here for 3 months, bought a house, bought a new car, all excited, brought her kids, all that. Boom, they fired her 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
Now she's like, I don't know what to do. I just moved. I don't know what to do. And, you know, and the thing about it is that when you understand that this happens all of the time, just be really, really, really careful. What I've always done is I've always tried to be judicious. I always try to go, you know, I always take, like when Health Masters, we started the company, 45 years ago, Austin? It was a long time. You know, I would always base my income upon the low peaks, you know, when you do that. Because every business does this. It cycles. And you learn very quickly you don't go leverage yourself out if you have a really good year. You don't do that. And so maintain your cash flow is really, really important, especially now with all of these things about to collapse on us.
I want to cover this article because this just came out. And it's interesting how so many of these things are tied in together. It says common chemicals are now being linked to hyperactivity in preschoolers.
No, absolutely.
About a lot of the pesticides.
Hormonal stuff, buddy.
Listen to this. Yes, study published in Environmental International evaluates just recently residues of individual mixtures of endocrine disrupting chemicals, including pesticides, are find a significant association between exposure and hyperactive behavior in children. They took urine samples from over 800 preschoolers, identifying and statistically analyzing concentrations of 22 endocrine disrupting chemicals, finding that 9 of these chemicals are significantly associated with hyperactivity trajectories, and EDC mixtures are positively associated with hyperactive behavior, noting the strongest association in girls. Mm-hmm. The reason why is I think probably females a lot of times are so because remember, these are endocrine disrupting chemicals, mm-hmm. multiple ones on here. This also ties back into what I talked about the other day with the paraben. That's an EDC. All these chemicals, these compounds, disrupt normal hormone cycle waves. Remember, hormones go in cycles all the time with men and women, especially when they're growing and they're getting older and they're adapting and they're building. The hormones are constantly changing through different paces in their life. What happens is the body's designed to have these influxes up and down of the hormones. When you start throwing in all these different EDCs like this, whether it's from the pesticides outside in the food, whether it's something you're spraying on your grass, whether it's the chemicals that you're wiping your face with, whether it's the lotion you're using.
Whether it's the receipts on the car or the gasoline.
It's hitting everybody from so many angles. It causes the body to start having these massive issues with hormone influx, and it's starting to have long-term effects. It says beyond pesticides, they presently reported that children are susceptible and vulnerable to exposure, harmful contaminants, including EDCs and pesticides, because of their growing bodies. The disproportionate risk is due to their small size and developing organs, predispensely to crawl and play near the ground, tendency for frequent hand-to-mouth motions, and greater intake of air and food relative to body weight. So be very cautious. I stopped spraying stuff on my grass.
No, me
too. When I first got my house, I was all excited, my St. Augustine. And then I realized, this is Florida. This is just a weed state. Everything grows here in Florida as far as grass and weeds, except for good agriculture.
Well, my neighbors have destroyed the lake now, spraying the lake.
Yeah.
It's full of weeds now. They sprayed it for one type of water hyacinth, which was nothing. I warned them not to do it.
It's got a rebound effect
and now,
all the time.
And now there's an opportunistic weeds have come in. You can't even walk out in the lake. Weeds wrap around.
Everybody started doing this. We're going to spray this lake. I want to have a pretty lake here. I'm like, dude, it's Florida. The ecosystem, the real ecosystem.
It was pretty when they left it alone.
Yeah, the real ecosystem is not pretty in Florida. There's grass and green stuff everywhere.
Well, and I had a friend of mine one time. His name was Warren. And Warren Williams, and he was a great guy. He's lived next door when we lived in Somerset. And I told him, he said, I had my grass perfect. And he goes, well, I decided a long time ago the weeds won.
Yeah.
And now I just tell people the weeds won. I don't care anymore. Oh, by the way, DHS is going to win too. Good segue. is now proposing biometric expansion for all immigrants, dropping age restrictions to like babies and requiring biometrics from some U.S. citizens. What do you think was happening?
Ah, hear that last one. Some U.S. citizens. Where that door just opened up, didn't it?
Well, how about the AI data centers with 500 of them being built? You know, and now sucking up all the silver and sucking up all the electricity. And now we don't want to have electric cars anymore. We want to have AI data centers. We have to choose either or. Guess what they chose? Unbelievable.
AI data centers. Yeah. And the crazy part about this is with the surveillance system that they're trying to put in place with the flock camera systems and everything.
There you go.
These things are getting nuts and out of control because they want to reach a point to where everything everybody does is consistently monitored. This is why they're doing what they're doing now with all these AI drones for first responders. These are popping up all over the country with these drone hubs. Oh, we're going to be able to have drones deployed immediately as EMTs, first responders, to monitor what's going on. They don't care about people's health. Remember, the last time the government actually cared about your safety and your health was, I don't know, probably the Revolutionary War. Honestly, everybody actually had a current agenda they wanted to work together on. Once the Civil War happened, we realized real quick, the government wasn't there to protect you. They're there to be opportunistic if it fits their needs. If you don't do what the government likes, they're completely okay with killing you. Civil War taught us that. And so when you start seeing these things come out, we're doing this for your safety. We're doing it for your protection. That's what they said about the COVID shot too, right? Now we've got unbelievably large amounts of data that the COVID shot was never even shown to be safe or effective for any type of viral infection. It was gene therapy through DARPA back in 2012 when they started putting this together with the Super Soldier program. The RNA gene therapy through the COVID shot was the doorway to start allowing RNA shots to be used on the American and human population in general. RNA therapy was already banned by the FDA for testing up until 2018, if I'm not mistaken. There were multiple reports of companies starting to do RNA gene therapy testing on lab rats, on ferrets, and then what they did was they applied multiple times to go to human trials. FDA continually denied it year after year after year. No, it is not safe. It is not to be used on human. FDA wouldn't even allow it to be used for human trials, guys. And then suddenly, 2 years later, we've got a pandemic of a COVID shot of a COVID virus that comes out of China, out of a Wuhan lab that Fort Detrick brewed up and sold to him and told him to go test it on random stuff over there. Suddenly now, RNA gene therapy is perfectly safe to test on the entire world. That's how safe and effective, how much the government cares about you. So let's you understand.
Well, let's talk about all the people we brought in through the food stamp program and all the SNAP programs and all the illegals that came in, some up to over 20 million. Before Biden, we had 17 million people on SNAP. After Biden, we have 41,700,000.
Whoa. So you're telling me it almost tripled?
Almost doubled. More than doubled, yeah. 41,700,000. That's
only 4 years, dude.
We got to remember, you bring in 20 million. Remember, Trump said it's up to 20 million illegals came in under Biden.
17 to 41 million. I did not know those numbers.
And it's like you said, there's this underground network that gets these people SNAP and everything else, and they use the dead people's Social Security numbers and basically IDs in order to do it.
That's why Elon Musk came in and said, where is all this money going? Remember, he had that whole list he came out with. He said, why are we paying billions of dollars to deceased people? Where are these checks going? Mm-hmm. They're getting cashed.
Yep.
Where are they going?
And then he said, let's go ahead and just get a pulse check on government employees.
Golly, dude.
Elon Musk tried. Trump tried in the beginning with Elon Musk to really clean this mess up. But the powers that be that run Washington, the Kabbalist Luciferian Synagogue of Satan, is also controlling BlackRock, State Street, and Vanguard. They said, no, we like our free money and we like our free air. And we're going to take everything we can until we bankrupt you because we see you as the golden goose.
Remember, you watched some of the shows when Trump first got in, and I was ranting about a lot of stuff that Elon was doing because I was looking at it and I was going, this guy's actually cutting in deep. It's not, oh, we're going to shave off a couple million. He goes, why do we have a $5 billion grant to produce Peruvian transgender comic books for Peru? What? Why is that our problem? Why are we producing
that? Now, I'm going to say this. That didn't produce comic books.
No, I know that.
That went somewhere else.
So again, guys, we're trying to get the truth out here, all in between the lies and swamp and marsh and water moccasins and gators down here in Florida. So thank you for your support. If you need anything, be sure to contact us. Skin repair kit on this site, on sale. GHI Cleanse will be transferring over to the Fit Food sale later on this afternoon. You guys stay strong. Email us if you need anything. Healthmasters.com. We're here for you. appreciate you guys. We'll talk to you on the show tomorrow as always.
Here's Bubblegum for the Brain. MAGA turns on Cash Patel for taking FBI jet to see country star girlfriend, 26 years old, performing at a wrestling match.
Must be nice.
Must be nice to take a private jet to go see your girl sing.
You don't have to pay for it.
You don't have to pay for it. Hey, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus all the days of your life. Remember, we can do all things through Christ, and that this is the day the Lord hath made, and we will rejoice in it regardless. And take all of this stuff that we talk about on the show with a grain of salt, because remember, we're only here for a little while. We're just passing through, and our place is in heaven with God for all of eternity. I love you guys. We'll talk to you tomorrow.